Well, Connie's had a long, hard, arduous journey from South Africa to the middle of the lower 48 states. She got caught up in that big CrowdStrike glitch. She flew Delta. I told her what Delta stands for. Don't ever leave the airport. She hadn't heard that before. Many of you know Connie. Preacher had a nice write-up about her in the bulletin. I won't read it. But Connie came to us. She's been ferried all over. Yesterday, Ashley took off, drove down, did some teacher stuff in Salina, picked Connie up down in Wichita, I believe, or Valley Center. Yeah. And then brought her back here. And I met them out at the hotel last night and got Connie all settled in. And my ringer was on all night long, just in case. Man, you don't know how many notifications I get during the night. So without further ado, here's Connie. Let me get my stuff out of your way.
Okay, okay, good morning. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, good. And I hope you can all understand me. Sometimes my accent, things get lost in translation. If you don't understand anything, just ask me afterwards. So in case you haven't guessed, my name is Connie Wicks. Oh, I can click it myself, sorry. In 1966, my mom and dad, and myself and my sister, went to South Africa as missionaries. And my parents continued in the ministry work until my dad died in 2010 in a car accident, and my mom died just 3 years ago in 2021. I have been personally involved. The Lord actually brought me into the ministry in 2000, so I have been involved with the ministry for the last 24 years. So I'm not new in it. I haven't taken over after my parents died. I've been involved with them for a long time. I am also a mom. I have 4 sons and 8.5 grandchildren, just so you can, you know, all grannies have to get a little bit of bragging in there. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers, you are God's field, God's building. And we see ourselves and our ministry as being planting, and we plant seeds in the lives of children and youth. And our ministry for the past 24 years has been mainly child and youth-based. I work with a team, so I have 2 lovely ladies that work with me. Getty Vukela is from Johannesburg, and she's a real asset because she speaks all 11 of our official languages. So it doesn't matter where we go, we have someone that can communicate. And Helen actually worked in Falvata with my mom for 9 years, and then after my mom passed away, she joined our team in Johannesburg. And I just really rely on them a lot. They are keeping things going while I'm here, so keep them in your prayers. They both really do need it, and just pray that all goes smoothly for them while I am away. So many people have thought of us as a PB&J, or peanut butter and jelly ministry, and this is part of what we do. We do give kids peanut butter and jelly sandwiches after Kids Club, but we do so much more than that, and there's so many different aspects to our ministry. So I just wanted to go into that a little bit with you today. As you can see, we are based in Johannesburg and Falvata. Johannesburg is a huge city, over 6 million people, and This is where I actually have been living for the past 24 years. And Farlwater is about 3 hours away from Johannesburg, and that's where my mom and dad were. And we are now dividing our time between the two places and the ministry work in Johannesburg, which is a more urban ministry, and the ministry in Farlwater, which is a lot more rural and very different in both places. So in Johannesburg, we are involved with 5 underprivileged daycare centers. 4 of them are in Soweto, which is the largest township that is attached to Johannesburg, and 1 is in Johannesburg city center. And we have been involved with them for 20 years. We love the work with children. Altogether, there's probably over 200 kids that we reach and interact with each week. We go to a different daycare every morning, and we sing songs with them. We're teaching them all the gospel songs, from old ones that I sang when I was a little girl, like "I May Never March in the Infantry," to a lot of newer ones. And the kids love singing. I won't try singing for you because I did not inherit the singing genes in my family. And then we always do a Bible lesson with them. We work with the old felt boards. I was saying to Getty and Helen before I left, I really need to see if I can get a new felt board set while I'm in the States, because we've been using ours for 13 years and it is starting to look a little bit tatty. And we had visitors last year that had really nice updated little felt board characters. So we think, oh, we would love something like that. But anyway, we do that because it really helps the kids to visualize the story that we're telling. And especially in Joburg, some of them, their English is pretty good. Others, we have to interpret for them. So, you know, we keep the story simple, but we tell the story straight out of the Bible. We do a lot of fun things with them, interacting with the kids. We do crafts with them. And just, I think that cross-cultural interaction is very good for the children as well. And they're just a lot of fun. And the kids actually in the daycare centers are between the ages of 1 and 5 to 6 years old. So that's, it's preschool. So it's a really fun age. And it's a really good age to start influencing them and start getting the right values and lessons instilled in their lives. You know, this is the most influential time of their lives, and often what they learn in those first 5 years are the things that will stick with them as they grow older. And, you know, in South Africa, as in America, we don't have Christianity in schools. We are a multicultural country. There's a lot of Muslims and other religions, so you don't have Christianity in schools anymore. So, you know, I think it's important for them to learn about Christianity before they even go to school. Maybe their only chance. A big thing as well is teaching them how to pray. This year we're going through New Testament stories and the life of Christ. So one of our lessons was the Lord's Prayer and teaching the children how to pray. And you, no matter what's going on in their lives, teaching them that they can pray to God. Most of them come from either single-parent homes or granny-headed homes, sometimes even child-headed homes. So, you know, often their little lives, they have a lot happening at home. And so if they're anxious or worried or scared, they know they can pray to God and He will hear them. Then in Farlwater, we have several different aspects of ministry going on. So one thing is feeding struggling people in the area. We feed 7 families at the moment and individuals. Some of them are young girls that whose mothers died when they were very young. We're finding we need to be doing a lot of mothering of them as well at the moment and guidance. There may be people that just can't get money. There's 70% unemployment in this area, so most of the people are unemployed and there's just not really any way to get work. It's very hard to get work. So we go every month and buy them basic monthly groceries. We pray with them, encourage them. If there's any other needs they have, we try and help them as best we can. And then we've also, in the past year, we've really, really found the need for the young girls in Lesser Ding, just to have the extra attention and extra guidance and just extra motivation. There's a lot of teenage pregnancies, a lot of, I think, abuse and misuse of young girls, and we just really feel that they need that extra mentoring, and we're also really wanting to build up a strong core of good Christian girls that will hopefully one day become leaders in the area. And so we started up a Saturday Bible study with the girls, and this is going very well, and we're just hoping that it's a safe place where we can talk to them about anything and also just help them with any struggles they have. And we've been having anywhere from, I'd say, 18, even up to 30 girls, depending on the week. And it's been going really, really well. It's just some more pictures from our girls' Bible study. The area where we are meeting, we have a small piece of property. One of the ladies has a little shack on it. And so we have a few benches. We did have a tin shade cover, and last year in a heavy windstorm, it completely blew away. So we have no cover or shelter for the kids. So it's very hot sometimes. But I was able to buy a couple of gazebos that we put up and try to squish everyone under. It doesn't always work, but that's what we're using, a shelter there for the moment. And then on Sundays, we have Sunday school. So all the kids from the area come running. We have anywhere from 100 to 200 kids arrive, often with younger siblings on their backs. And we, you know, have a great time with them. We sing lots of songs, and we do a Bible story with them. And this is where afterwards they all line up and get their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which they love so much. And it's a real treat for them. You know, it's not something that they have in their homes. They very rarely have anything like peanut butter or jelly in their homes. You know, if they have bread, they'll probably just eat plain bread. So we have a wonderful time at Kids Club, and we just love the kids so much. Can see the happy faces, even though they're dirty and poor and don't have much. It's a really good, Letabo actually means happiness, and it's just a happy time for them. Then we've also over the years found there's certain people that have special needs that need help. And Old John is one of them. I just thought I'd tell you about a couple of our people. Old John, my mom met probably 10 to 12 years ago. He was filthy, dirty, living in a little tin shack. No work, no family. He couldn't even remember the year he was born, so he had no form of identification, no one to look after him. So my mom took him under her wing and got someone to cook for him. They got him cleaned up. They got him moved to a better shack, and we cared for him ever since. And over the last couple of years, his health started declining. He was quite old. We don't know how old he was, but pretty old. So last year he was in and out of hospital a few times, and he was starting to get dementia and things like that. And we had a wonderful lady that would cook for him and care for him every day and go and look after him. And in November, a social worker in the area found some family members of his. And it was a nephew and a couple of nieces, and they came to visit him. And apparently he had left their village, which is quite a distance away, when he was about 16 years old, to find work. And it was probably 40, 50 years ago, who knows how long ago. And the family had never heard from him again. They didn't know if he was alive, whatever happened to him, nothing. He couldn't remember anything, you know, by the time we got involved with him. He remembered his names and I think the village he was from, but that was about it. So after a lot of communication, which was very difficult with John and his dementia, they decided it was their long-lost uncle. All his siblings had since passed away, and they were hoping to take him back to their village, but when they saw the extra care he needed, they realized they wouldn't be able to do that themselves. So they left him with us, and sadly he passed away in January this year. But his family then took him back to his village and buried him there in his village. But, you know, at least for the last 10, 12 years, he had people that loved him and cared for him and looked after him. Another family we've got involved with is Magdalena. We first, a couple of years ago, first noticed her kids at kids' club. And the kids, you know, were very dirty. The second youngest was at kids' club on his sister's back, and Helen and I looked at this baby, and we thought he was looked almost like he was dying. He was not really in a good condition, and we decided, let's see what the home situation is, and we started helping them with food and have been involved with them in many ways since then. The little girl, the stepfather, we found out last year the stepfather was actually abusing her, so we got them out of that situation, took them away and moved them away, got him arrested. And then this year, the oldest son, John, who's the school sent him home from school at the age of 13 and said, no, he needs to go to a special school. And at the age of 13, he can't write his name, which is a simple J-A-N. He can't count to three. He doesn't know his ABCs. He knows nothing, and he has actually been pushed through the school system to the age of 13 when they suddenly said he needs a special school. So we've now found a special school for him to go to, and in Modimolle, which is about 60 kilometers away from Farvater. It's the nearest town to Farvater. Very nice school run by a very, very nice lady, also a non-profit school, and he's very, very happy there. And they said, well, all they can do is teach him skills. So we're hoping that he'll be able to learn some sort of skill that it'll be able to see him through life as he's older. So we just have many families, many people that we get involved with. Just so much need there that we come up across all the time. And then other projects we have up in Venda, which is a very, very far northern part of South Africa, almost on the Zimbabwe border. We've been involved with three pastors there that have various feeding projects for the kids. And it's a very rural area, very poor area. So we do help them with purchasing food for their feeding projects. And as often as we can, it's not always easy because it's a long drive, we go up and visit them to encourage them. And it's a lot of fun because this is, you go up there and that's what you here would envision to be Africa. You know, the rural, and the ladies teach the kids the traditional dancing and things like that. And it's always a great place to visit. And Walter, Gladys, and Marina just work so hard in looking after the kids and helping them however they can. Getty, who I said works with me and is from Johannesburg, actually lives in our government housing. It's an apartment block, and it's in an area that is rife with drug abuse and alcohol abuse and all sorts of problems. And Getty, wherever she lives, wherever she is, she becomes like the little local social worker. Anyone has a problem, they come to Getty. So in this area, she's now started up a Saturday Bible study with the children from her apartment block in the neighborhood. So they all come, and we help with giving them a meal afterwards. She's been involved with 10-year-olds that have tried committing suicide because of their home situation. And I think she's just a light in this very dark area. Okay, another project is visitors. I was telling Jim that he and Becky need to come out to South Africa to visit us. But we're really trying to encourage all our supporters and supporting churches, come and visit us, come and see us. We had several visitors last year. It's easy for me to stand up here and tell you a bit about what we're doing. It's a completely different thing to experience it yourself, to meet everyone, go to the places, be part of the ministry. I've done like a little sample itinerary, what would happen, what would be expected, or what you could expect if you came out. And you'll find it would be a really life-changing thing if you came and visited us. And it's really encouraging for us to have people come out and see us and visit us and see the ministry and see more than just me. So really think about it and pray about it. We would love to see a team from this church come out and visit us sometime in the close and near future. And then we are coming up on the most exciting part of the year for the kids. Our school year ends towards the end of November, first week of December. So the last week of November, we have our Christmas parties. And so we've been teaching the kids. We spend about a month teaching them the Christmas story and practicing a little Christmas play. A friend of mine that volunteers with us made the lovely little costumes that they had last year. So at our Christmas party, they all do their little play for us, which is a lot of fun. And then they get a special meal, hot dogs, chips, cool drink, ice creams, which is really the best. And they go home with little goodie bags of sweets and treats. And they also get a brand new T-shirt. And each year we do a different T-shirt design. So last year our T-shirt design was Jesus is. And, you know, he's kind, he's my friend, he's King of Kings, he's my healer. We wanted to use words that kids and people could really relate to. And they love their T-shirts so much. And, you know, you'll often go and see a kid wearing a T-shirt from 2 or 3 years before. You know, they keep those T-shirts. And with many of them, that is the only new item of clothing they'll get in the year. So it's really a special time for them. So we normally start from this time of the year trying to raise money for printing the T-shirts, for doing all the goodie bags and special meals. And it's probably up to around 700, 800 kids that we do T-shirts for and have parties with. So just some photos from our Christmas parties last year. So just to sum up, because I know it's quite a lot to think of. So in Johannesburg, we have 5 daycare centers we're involved with over 200 children. They're ages 1 to 6 years old. We also help the daycares with special projects and special needs that we have. We also help them, try and help them with food as much as we can. We also have Getty's Bible study that's going on. And then in Farvater, we're feeding 7 individuals and families. We have this Bible study especially for girls ages 12 and up. We have a Letabo Kids Club Sunday school with the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that they get, and just helping people with special needs. When we go up there, we are busy every single day with various things that go on. And then also just helping up in Venda with them, you know, being able to feed children with the feeding projects that they have there. So as you can imagine, I do a lot of traveling every month. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. This church has been supporting us since around 2012. And your support means so much to us. And as I read, we are God's co-workers. We can't do what we do without you doing what you do. And we're working together. So this ministry is as much your ministry as it is our ministry. And we just want to thank you for being faithful and for supporting us all this time. And we really, really do appreciate it. I have a short little movie to show you that just gives a good overview of all our projects and of the kids and everything. So.